Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Left center and deep to the bullpen. Reyes going back, still going back, and that ball's gone. Rosario with a two-run home run into the bullpen. And it's 6-0.
Boys, I want you to listen closely here again. Listen closely.
Left center.
Hear that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Left center.
Well, there's nothing like it.
Burn that in your brain.
Left center.
Because that might be the last time you hear that sound off the bat of Eddie Rosario.
You know what? You know what, though? That's not nearly as good as the Donaldson or Cruz crack of the bat.
It's true.
I don't know if I have any. Oh, what about this one?
High fly ball.
Ooh, that's a different. That's
deep left field. Donaldson has left the building. Here comes the rain shower.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Compare those and tell me that the barrel of the bat isn't different.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Rosario's a little more on the trademark there. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a broken bat there, actually.
A little hollow.
Left center.
So the Twins are saying goodbye to Rosario, sounds like. We'll talk about that. We have Write That Down predictions and an accountability session and our friend Patrick Ricey. We also have friends at Federated Insurance. They help keep the lights on here at Score North and on the Mackey and Judd Show. And they are pleased to announce My Shield, your personalized online destination for risk management resources for your business. So if you're a business owner, and this has been a really tough year for a lot of business owners, Federated is here to help you. They've been around for over 100 years in Minnesota. And MyShield is now available 24/7 and can be accessed from a computer, tablet, smartphone, or the MyShield app. You want to find out more information and how Federated and MyShield can help your business? Go to federatedinsurance.com and click on Meet MyShield. At Federated Insurance, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Tie the game, and Rosario lifts it to right field and deep and gone, a grand slam. Teeing off on the first pitch. Eddie Rosario puts the Twins in front 4-1. And the ball hit to left field, and Rosario makes a sliding catch. They'll get a double play. What a catch by Rosario, picking it off the grass before it hit the grass. And a line drive double play ends the threat.
Well, I think we can...
Come on, if we're going to have Rosario highlights from left field, we got to have them all. Here's the ball bouncing in the left field corner, and Rosario throws up his hands for a ground rule double, but it's not. And glad he melts down.
What about some of the base running highlights?
Yeah, exactly. We got to have the pack. If we're going to do Rosario justice, we got to have the package.
I think you're probably right. I think we need like Eddie Rosario. He's hung up between second and third for no reason whatsoever. There's nobody out.
Rosario,
what is he doing?
Rosario throws home from left, and it sails into the first base seats.
There's Rosario swinging and missing at a pitch that went to the backstop over his head. It bounced four times in front of home plate, and he still swung at that pitch.
Oh, yeah.
So the news came out yesterday. Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic reporting the Twins the day before what's called the not. So today, as we sit here on this Wednesday, is the Major League Baseball non-tender deadline. Major League Baseball needs to clean up some of their terminology. Yes, arbitration and non-tender and...
Outright waivers.
Like, make your game easier for fans at a bar to understand.
And the deadline is 7 p.m. Like, let's make it noon, okay, so we can follow along. By 7 p.m. tonight, I'm not going to care.
Now, the NFL has waivers, too, but, like, the vernacular in the NFL is, like, the Vikings just cut their long snapper. Like, there's no... Well, if he passes through the American League side of the waivers, then the National League can get access to him. So just to simplify a ridiculously complicated system, the Twins have to decide by today, do they want to get into a third year of arbitration with Eddie Rosario that would likely pay him north of $10 million, I believe. Let me just find his salaries here. So he made $7.7 million last year. When you get into arbitration, it's like once you get into your fourth, fifth, and sixth years in the major leagues based on service time, then you essentially... enter this like ambiguous 3-year stretch of you decide what your salary should be, and then the team decides what your salary should be, and then you find a negotiating point in the middle, and if you can't, you go to a judge.
Yeah, and it's a panel that basically knows nothing about baseball,
right,
and looks at the stats and is like, you win. So the projection for Rosario for 2021 is 9.6 mil.
Okay.
The high projection, so the best that he could possibly do is 12.9 million.
And so that would be locking him in, let's just call it $10 million to round up here for the 2021 season. Then he would be a free agent anyways after 2021. So the Twins have to decide, do we want to pay Eddie Rosario $10 million in 2021 and also like potentially cut off an avenue for Alex Kirilloff to start? And when they decided, the answer is no, especially with like not having fans in the seats. We lost a bunch of revenue. We'd like to bring Nelson Cruz back. Trevor Bauer's out there. There's better places to spend $10 million. Then they have to decide, okay, well, can we trade him? Like, would somebody else pick up his $10 million?
Which I think they've been trying to do for 2 years, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're finding no takers.
Or do we just have to flat out cut him,
right,
and get nothing for him? And so putting him on waivers 24 hours before the non-tender deadline is a way of, basically, it's a last-ditch way of saying, hey, if anybody, like, wants him and wants to pay him, it's kind of like doing him a favor. Maybe someone will pay you $10 million. If everyone passes on him, then he's just like a free agent.
And it's also, I think, proving to him that if you want to stay here, you will take what we give you.
Which is less than $10
million. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I bet you what the Twins said is, we'll give you what you got last year. And he said, oh, no, I want way more. And they said, okay, watch this. And put him through the entire league. And I think the deadline for that, for the waiver claim to expire, is noon today on Wednesday. So my guess is that they're basically trying to show him, you aren't worth nearly as much as you probably think that you're worth right now.
And that's the thing about Rosario. And this is where I'm a little conflicted about Rosario. He's always kind of driven me nuts in the way that he gets super loosey-goosey in spots. And he's one of those guys that just comes up to an at-bat and has decided already if he's going to swing at the first three pitches, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what's coming out of that pitcher's hand, but I'm swinging three times, and if I hit one, I hit one. He's the guy that pretty often runs himself into a ridiculous base running pickle. But then he's also the guy, like, go back to 2019. He'll carry a team offensively for a month and a half and hit a bunch of clutch home runs. You know, he led the team with 109 runs driven in 2019, hit 32 home runs. And so if you just look at the back of the baseball card stats with Rosario, the last full season, in only 137 games, so he missed like a month, and he still hits 32 homers, drives in 109 runs, he scores 91 runs, bats 276, slugs 500, so back of the baseball. And by the way, he finished 18th in the MVP voting 2 years ago, 17th in the MVP voting last year, so he's getting some like low-end MVP votes. And the Twins are essentially going to let him walk for nothing because they want to save the $10 million and apply it elsewhere, or just flat save it. I get that he's flawed. I get that he doesn't get on base very often. He strikes out in key spots, and he makes ridiculous throwing errors, and his range has dropped off, and there's all these things that are sort of hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But it rubs me the wrong way that he's just going to be gone in his prime for nothing. That bothers me.
I've got two questions off this. One is, if he's not gone, if he basically says, okay, no one claim me, I get it, I'm worth X amount, and I will sign on the dotted line for what the Twins are probably offering him, where are you going to definitely create room for Kirilloff? Now, if you're going to then turn around and try and trade Kepler or create room for Kirilloff at first base because Miguel gets traded. So I think the one thing is, because I want a spot created for Kirilloff in 21. That's my first thing. My second thing off your point, Phil, is, and this is the unknown coming off the pandemic season, are the Twins saying, you're not worth it because we didn't make as much as we thought we were going to in 2020, and so we're going to let you go and pocket it and basically say, okay, cool, save 10 mil? Or are the Twins, and I know this is a big or, and people are going to laugh and say, cheap pole edge, Jed, what are you talking about? But if they are planning to use that money elsewhere on, let's say, pitching, then I'm fine. So if you basically say, Rosario comes back and plays left, or we pivot and possibly pursue a pitcher. So I guess my question to the Twins is, what are you going to do with, if you don't bring him back, what are you going to do with what you save? Because if you pocket it, it's, in my opinion, a bad look.
I agree.
If you turn,
especially because it's 1 year. And he's, it's not like he's under contract for five more years.
If you turn around, though, and put that cash towards a bid for, let's say, a starter, which we know the Twins definitely want, I can get with that. And now you've created room potentially in left field for Kirilloff. So if that's the plan, I actually applaud that and say, yes, that's a good plan.
There's also a good chance. Alex Kirilloff looked really comfortable in the 5 minutes we've seen him in the major leagues. And, you know,
that
a
is one small
game
sample size that impressed us, but you're correct.
But he looked really comfortable.
Yep.
And he looked, he looked, this is going to sound so stupid and like old school scouty, but he just looked like he belonged in that game.
Toolsy, Phil. He was toolsy.
And everyone who's seen him in the minor leagues, even though he had a couple injury issues and his numbers weren't amazing a couple years ago, but everyone who's seen him says that guy barrels up the ball more often than almost any prospect you're going to see. And he's going to be a high batting average, low strikeout guy that can also hit for power. Unlike a lot of these other Twins hitters, Miguel Sano, most notably, Byron Buxton, another one, where it's those guys are sort of low batting average, streaky, big strikeout guys that are also productive for stretches. But this is where, and by the way, Rosario, for as much of a free swinger as he was, actually didn't strike out that often compared to a lot of the other hitters in this lineup. You know, he, in fact, I think he only struck out 100 times, like maybe twice as a Twin. Maybe we can check that later. But
he took questionable at-bats at times that might not have resulted in strikeouts. I think that's a fair thing to say.
And you could also argue that, like, yeah, maybe he wasn't striking out, but because he swung wildly at a pitch outside and low that he hit like a weak ground ball that, you know, might as well have been a strikeout.
Yes.
So he made a lot of weak contact in those situations. But my point is, Alex Kirilloff, if he pans out to the level that he should pan out to, provides so many things that this lineup needs. Like, you wonder, why can't this lineup score runs in these three-game series in the postseason, or why do they go cold for 3 weeks at a time? Because this lineup has so many wildly inconsistent hitters, and the reason why they're wildly inconsistent is because they strike out too much. Mm-hmm. You know, Miguel Sano, why can't he stay hot, you know, for 5-6 months and be more consistent? Because he strikes out in like half of his plate appearances. Alex Kirilloff is not that type of hitter if he immediately hits the ground running. And so that part of it is exciting. But to your point, if they can save this $10 million and then immediately like go over and say, well, this $10 million is going to help us bring Nelson Cruz back or help us on a 2-year contract for Trevor Bauer, I'm all for it. If it's just, well, we're just going to say goodbye to Eddie Rosario for nothing, that rubs me the wrong way.
I agree with that.
And I'm not the pole lads guy, but here we are.
Now, let's do this. Let's play a game. I want to start with the reckless speculation sounder and transition to game show music, because I've got a thought about where this might be going. Okay.
On the fly right
okay.
Now.
Reckless speculation.
I'll let Dex hit the other one.
Reckless speculation.
Straight talk.
Juicy rumors.
That drops. Drops page.
Yeah, hold on. Wow, Judd, yeah, just throwing us all off here. It's MJR Drops 2 page over there, and there should be on the right hand side for you.
It's okay.
Got it. Here we go. All right.
All right. Today's game is, how crazy did he drive Rocco?
Ooh.
Something that Rocco Baldelli would have never told you, but he'll be happy when Eddie Rosario is gone. How crazy do you think Rosario drove Rocco Baldelli? Because I do think this plays a role. Rocco would never say it, but I think he drives him nuts.
Well, you nailed the first, like, was it 2 years ago when Rosario failed to run hard to first base, or like there was a couple things that happened where it was like, dude, you're costing the Twins games and runs here.
Yes.
And you asked Rocco Baldelli in the clubhouse or in his office, okay, are you going to punish him? Like, what's the deal here? And his answer basically, well, it doesn't really, I'm not going to say anything to him because I don't want to like upset him or something.
He basically said there's no point because it's not going to work.
Yeah. And so if he's already resigned to like, well, it's just going to be Eddie being Eddie, that part of that baggage probably matters.
See, in this equation. I agree completely. I think he drove him absolutely up the wall.
Yeah, that would be, there's other examples like this. Like the Tampa Bay Rays do this stuff all the time where they'll have I think it was it Chris Dickerson or Corey Dickerson, maybe.
Yeah, Corey Dickerson.
Hit like 30 home runs for the Rays 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and they just didn't tender him a contract. And everyone's like, what? That guy hit 30 home runs for you last year. And the Rays got better after he left because he was kind of a low on base.
Yep.
Just a guy that you can find. That's the other thing that I'm probably not factoring in here is Eddie Rosario and his profile, like corner outfielder that hits for some power that doesn't really get on base, is a really findable commodity.
Yes. Left field.
So,
yes.
So there
left
is field, part yes, of that.
I
too.
Agree with that. So I do think, though, that the internal discussion that we don't know about is Baldelli probably saying, it's been fun, but the guy didn't know the ground rule in his home ballpark.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing worse than fans who were like, well, I didn't know that ground rule. You don't play left field for millions of dollars for the Minnesota Twins. Like, it's one thing if Rosario doesn't know the ground rule in Cleveland, right? It's like, okay, that's not great that you didn't know it, but it's Cleveland. That's fine, right? He didn't know a ground rule in a ballpark he's played since 2015.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Like, that is a attention to detail that you would like your outfielder to have.
I can also almost guarantee if he clears waivers, and he probably will today, and he just becomes a free agent, and the Twins say, listen, we'd love to have you back. We just can't pay you $10 million. Here's $5 million. And other teams are offering in the same range. He's going to another team, right?
Sure.
He's the type of that's going to be like, oh, I'd rather just stick it to you. If you don't want to pay me, screw you.
Anyway.
How long do you want the game show music to
keep
playing?
It's fine now. I just wanted to do the whole, how crazy did he drive Rocco, but we didn't know because Rocco wouldn't tell us.
I think you're onto it. Before we get to write that down, predictions too, more roster moves, depressing roster moves. Guys losing their jobs during a global pandemic. The Minnesota Vikings announced yesterday, not only have they...
Trevor May. I was going to say May. Trevor May just made what I consider to be... Financially, it's great, but this is Trevor May, New York.
Did we really get to that for a minute.
Did you really pick New York? Like, you are... All of the stuff that we joked about the gamer stuff...
Oh, you guys were joking. I wasn't
joking. Which is... No, you weren't, but here's the thing. In New York, it's going to be used against him.
Oh, yeah.
Actively.
I'm telling you, he cares more about video games and streaming. It's a business for him. He cares more about that than he cares about baseball.
But his problem is, and this is not a problem as a human being, it's a problem as an athlete, and it's very much why you need to be careful about where you potentially go. He wants people to like him. Like, he's a good guy. He chats people up. He wants to be liked. And the second that he goes through, and he will because he always does, that two-week stretch, right, where he just comes in and leaves a pitch hanging and blah, 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 the New York media, and I mean the Mets are covered by what, 15 writers a day?
Like and 20 people a day, TV outlets.
More people than that. They are going to get into, I saw you were gaming last night, dude. Were you thinking about the Mets?
Well, there are so many times where, like, the Twins would get beat in some devastating fashion. And he'd send a tweet out or something, you know, 2 hours after the game. Hey, everyone.
I got streaming.
Firing up the stream tonight. And, you know, most people who follow him, I think it's probably 50-50. A lot of people follow him because he's a big-time gamer. But, like, some of the replies in those Twitter threads, and I was probably in there, too.
Well,
like,
you were on the I don't think he's really into baseball 2 years ago, Phil?
I mean, I'm just saying.
It was very Zolgadian because I actually didn't pick on him as much as you did.
If he's pitching against the Yankees in the postseason, I'm pretty sure he's dialed in. All I'm saying is, like, if it's June, it's like June 15th, and you know, the season's about 2.5 months, and you've gotten settled in, you've gone through spring training, you're 4 months into the work year.
Yep.
And he's sitting out there in the bullpen, and he might have to get up, maybe not. What's he thinking about? Is he thinking about the scouting report for the hitters he might have to face in two innings, getting mentally prepared, or is he thinking about first player gamer?
He's thinking about Pac-Man and Tetris, you think?
Tetris.
He's more of a...
We should start streaming
Atari,
Tetris.
Atari.
Yeah. Great
boing,
Tetris player.
Boing.
So he signs a two-year $15 million contract, by the way. That was the money. 2 years, $15 million with the Mets. And he is a good reliever. He has, I think he's sort of gotten some of the control issues under wraps, and he's a high velocity, upper 90s guy who can tally strikeouts. And I have heard a lot of people questioning, well, why wouldn't, that's not, I mean, it's a lot of money for a reliever, but I mean, it's like, it's less than you were going to maybe pay Eddie Rosario. 2 years, $15 million. Why would the Twins not be in for that price? Well, A, the Twins, as we've seen, are looking for ways to save money to apply it to Nelson Cruz and maybe a free agent starting pitcher. But B, here's the thing. My philosophy on relievers is you definitely shouldn't just, like, let all of them go to free agency, But I think you should look at the guys that you've been able to just sort of create out of thin air. Trevor May is a guy that was a failed starter. You just sort of you molded him into a great reliever. Tyler Duffy is a failed starter. You molded him into a great reliever. You've plucked guys off the waivers like Stashak and Whistler, and they've become good, reliable, regular season relievers.
Yep.
Don't pay $8 million for something you can get for $500,000. Now, if it's like a bona fide, ridiculously good Josh Hader type dude that you can use for 70 to 90 innings and he's untouchable, all right, I'll pay that guy $10, $15 million a year. I don't think I'm paying Trevor May $7.5 million if it prevents me from bringing Nelson Cruz back. Yeah.
No, I think that they probably made the right call there. And right or wrong, I think that this administration and coaching staff has had enough success with doing what you talked about, which is taking slightly or failed pitchers and converting them, that's going to be a point where they think that they can probably find guys that they can then create into solid bullpen guys, and then if they leave, they leave and they'll replace them. So I think that's the one thing where they're probably convinced, and they might be right, that they can have success in taking guys on the cheap and getting them to a point where they can replace a guy like May without it being a disaster by any means. So I think you're right about that.
Okay, now the Vikings. There's roster news all over the place here, all right? The Vikings released Austin Cutting yesterday, the long snapper.
It's a fitting name, ain't it?
It is. Destiny. Manifest destiny. He's the long snapper they drafted in the seventh round of the 2019 draft. My question is, why is Rick Spielman drafting long snappers and punters? He drafted a punter, Jeff Locke, in the fifth round one time. This is now the fourth specialist. Austin Cutting, long snapper. Daniel Carlson, fifth round pick. Jeff Locke, fifth round pick. Blair Walsh, fifth round pick. This is the fourth specialist that they've drafted in the last 8 years that's failed. Now, Daniel Carlson has panned out with the Raiders. He's been really good this year. He's only missed like two kicks all year.
Yep.
But the Vikings are like using draft capital. In some cases, like a fifth round pick is, those are position players. Stephon Diggs was a fifth round pick. And you're drafting a punter.
Well, and yeah, you value those picks, right? Like you talk about them all the time. Right.
And don't even, Rick Spielman, I think overall has been a very good drafter and a finder of hidden gems like Everson Griffin and Stephon Diggs and Daniel Hunter. And so, by and large, I think he's done a good job at roster building.
Yep.
But in this one area, he's like your friend in fantasy football who always starts the run on kickers or defenses in like the sixth round. It's like everyone is still drafting their second running back. And he's like, the 49ers defense. Like, what?
But then everyone else is like, we got to get a defense too.
You know, like you need to draft punters and long snappers. Well, it's ridiculous.
But the problem too is it's not just that he's doing that. It's the philosophy of doing that for a coach who has no patience. Daniel Carlson lasted two games. He lasted two games. Now, Blair Walsh was a Vikings pick before Zim got here. But, you know, he spent 2 years here and Zim's like, he's a mess. And Zim was exactly right. And he gets let go. Don't forget, you also melting down about Dan Bailey, because Zim was melting down about Dan Bailey, who, by the way, has been very good. You traded a fifth round pick a couple years ago for the Vedvik kid to the Baltimore Ravens,
right.
which is another panicked move of like, we got to get a specialist here. If you had a history, so let's say Spielman and his head coach worked hand in hand, right? And like, developed kickers. Like, oh my God, you found another kicker late in the draft. That's really good. But Mike's basically telling you, I got no patience. I don't want him. I want a veteran who I can pay no attention to and who makes kicks. So what I don't get is why does Rick keep going grocery shopping and buying beets for a guy who hates beets? Like, that's what he's doing. He's like, hey, Mike, I brought home a big salad. And Mike's like, no beets, right? No, I got some beets. They were on sale. You're going to love them. And Mike's like, but I hate beets, Rick.
I forgot about Vedvik, too. So here's the tally. Over the last 8 years, the Vikings have committed 4 fifth-round picks and a seventh-round pick to failed specialists.
Can we awesome. Also
what
talk
are you
about
doing?
This?
That's awesome.
So wait. So
just wait till the undrafted free agents.
But here, so I can hear the people who are watching this right now saying, yeah, you guys, though, it's like a fifth or seventh round pick. Who cares? This is actually where you do find guys. And also, if you are just going to basically say, you know what, it's a seventh round pick, what should we do? Like, this is where you take skill position guys and just take chance. Like, I would much prefer taking, like, a receiver, a cornerback, hell, a quarterback, a developmental
someone
guy.
Someone who can catch a punt?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's where the developmental guys come in and you just take chances.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about if
not a kicker.
If you nail, I'm with you on this, like, if there's positions that are just sort of low upside, you can just find guys or you can find a veteran or something. Don't waste a draft pick. Just go find. There's kickers. There's always going to be, I mean, Dan Bailey. Like, there's always just going to be, like, experienced kickers that, yes. Who's this? Like, Nick Folk was available for the Patriots, and he just kicked a game winner last week. And, okay, is he Adam Vinatieri in the snow 18 years ago? No, but he's good. He's fine. He's a freaking kicker. You know, he might miss a couple extra. And then you just cut him if he misses a couple, and you bring in another veteran.
Right.
Go find Kai Forbath, whatever he's doing with his no socks and loafers look or something.
Punchers are the exact same thing. You're right.
And so to your point, like, if you have a fifth-round pick, all right, which is not a seventh-round pick is one thing. Austin Cutting was a seventh-round pick. If you have a fifth-round pick and your choices are punter or wide receiver with a couple flaws or injuries, but there's some speed there and some skill there, or you know, linebacker guy, like, whatever, right?
Right.
If you nail both those picks, if you nail that wide receiver and you nail that punter, look at the difference in upside. Stephon Diggs versus, like, a guy who can really pin him inside the 20. I mean, come on.
Big leg, man. Daniel Carlson had that big leg, which lasted two games. That's the thing again, though. Like, one, it's so obvious that the coach has no patience. So he wants veterans. Well, that's fine. You're right. You know what? The Colquitts and the Baileys and the Forbaths are always going to be there looking for jobs. So, and then you're going, but then you're going out and being like, I watched all this SEC tape, Mike. And Mike's like, why? Because I saw a guy with a big leg.
Dude, when Austin Cutting rolled a ground ball 2 weeks ago, remember that? He just, like,
yeah, against
he
Chicago,
just like
that
rolled
was final,
a five hopper.
That was a final straw, yes.
Mike Zimmer's head spun around nine times, like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. It's like, dude, get these clowns off of my roster.
Green started coming from his mouth.
So all kinds of roster moves here in Minnesota. Let's get to the real main event of today's show. Write that down, predictions. We are the only show in America that actually keeps track of our predictions and holds each other accountable. That is coming up in just a second.
Hi, Judd. Happy holidays.
Hi, Phil. How's it going with you?
It's going okay.
Hey, I'd like to introduce you to my friend.
Hello, Phil. I'm David.
David, happy holidays
to you. Happy holidays to you.
Have you guys heard we have a new quarterback in town?
I'm excited about it.
What's a quarterback?
Well, David, let us show you.
Young purple QB, pa-ra-pa-bum-pum. Short distance accuracy, pa-ra-pa-bum-pum. The finest gloves he brings, ba-ra-ba-pum-pum, ra-ba-pum-pum, ra-ba-pum-pum. Young quarterback, ba-ra-ba-pum-pum, of the team. Short distance accuracy, ba-ra-ba-pum-pum. The finest gloves he brings, ba-ra-ba-pum-pum. Managed to Stephon Diggs, just hand the ball off to AP, to AP again. Young purple QB, pa-ra-pa-pum-pum, from the shotgun.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd with Rami. This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write this down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
It's Write That Down with Mackie, Judd, and Rami.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
And welcome in to the most riveting segment in sports talk. We are the only show in America that keeps track of our predictions and holds each other accountable. Here on Mackie and Judd, we're leaving Rami's name in the intro, in part because he's still part of this. He's still in second place, and also in part because I've been lazy and have not been able to submit for a new production. But that's okay.
That's all right.
Wow, the truth came out.
I mean, that's been the obvious truth.
I bought into the narrative this whole time, and now it's been shattered.
So here's how Write That Down works. Every single Wednesday on Mackie and Judd, three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. The batting title race runs from January 1st through December 31st. So this is the time of year where we have to also explain the things that qualify to come off the board for this season versus the ones that are going to. So if you made like an NFL season prediction for 2020, it would include the January playoffs. We haven't decided what the hell to do if like it gets. Yeah, that's the way it's been every year. So like if you predict like the Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they get to the playoffs and play a playoff game in January and then they lose, that prediction would be attributed to the 2020 calendar year.
So basically the batting champion won't be crowned until probably like February or March.
It depends. We've had a couple hanging Chad situations before.
Sure.
And this year, let's say the Super Bowl gets pushed back and like, now this year Judd mathematically might have a big enough batting average lead where it won't matter.
Right.
But we did have one that I think went all the way up until the week of the Super Bowl
because
Aaron Rodgers' yes. MVP was like the hanging Chad.
Yep.
That had, it was a very, very much a 2000 Florida situation.
Yep.
Yep.
I would urge us to stop the count as quickly as possible.
Right.
If I'm ahead, let's stop the count. And if I'm behind, let's keep it going.
We do have a write that down Supreme Court. We'll have to see if we need to leverage.
I'm trying to appoint the entire Supreme Court.
Patrick Coney Ricey is gonna swing things for us. So three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you want to be part of the segment and you want to take your swings, you can send me a direct message on Twitter. Even if I don't follow you, my DMs are open for if you want to take a shot at us or whatever, just at Phil Mackie. Or like over Thanksgiving weekend, if you want to tell me how big of an idiot I am for ragging on Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins, I think, spoke for himself on Sunday. You can just DM me on Twitter if you want to participate. You guys ready for the accountability session?
Not really, but yeah.
Write that down.
Judd Zulgad came in here with a pretty healthy batting average lead of, I believe, like 35 points.
Mm-hmm.
But he had nothing come off the board. I did want to highlight something that is close to coming off the board because you didn't have anything actually come off the board. You at some point said Adam Gase, Matt Patricia, and Dan Quinn will all be fired by the new league year, and you are in great shape.
Do you know?
Great shape.
Do you
with that
know?
Right
this
now.
Is a tutorial in the write that down wording. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I made this same prediction, I think about three different coaches 2 years ago, and I said they'd be fired on Black Monday. The day after the season ends.
And you said on Black Monday.
Yes.
And a couple got fired beforehand, which wiped out the prediction.
And I was wrong.
See, it happens to all of us, Declan.
So this is lesson learned here.
Yeah, Judd, to be more clear, Judd had a prediction. He basically wanted to say, these three coaches are going to get canned. And he said, canned on Black Monday.
Yep.
And like two of them were so bad they got canned in December.
Just like this.
Yep.
Same exact thing as this.
And it was incorrect.
But I said new. So I basically took it up to like March 3rd here.
So Adam Gase, boy, it would be a major upset if you didn't get this point at some point here. Now, for this one, because you're attributing the end date here to the new league year, which is March as of right now.
Yes.
If Adam Gase somehow didn't get fired until like the first week in January, right? This prediction would come off the board for 2021. Because it's not an NFL season prediction.
Got it.
But like if you were to say Justin Jefferson is going to have 1,000 yards this season and their final game is in the first week of January.
Yes.
We would count that for the 2020 calendar year. We have not figured out what to do if the NFL goes on like a 6-month hiatus because of COVID, which won't happen.
Right. But so. I am counting on Gase being fired the day after the season ends. In which case I will then get this retroactive to 2020.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're this is where the Jets are genius. Because they want to tank every game. They just want to go
0-16. Yeah, absolutely.
And if they fire Adam Gase now, that team might get fired up for a couple weeks, and they might finish, you know, let's say with the second pick and not get Trevor Lawrence.
Exactly.
So if you're the Chicago Bears right now and you feel like the wheels are off the wagon, just keep going with Matt Nagy and finish with
the Bears
four
might
win,
feel like
wins.
They've got a chance. I guess I am in retrospect a little bit surprised Detroit's move. Because I would have thought Detroit would have said, we're playing so bad, that let's take the pick. Let's not fire Patricia yet. Because now, to Phil's point, you know what? Bev might give the Lions a spark.
Yeah.
That old spark plug. Daryl Bevel might give him a little bit of a, hey, let's go out and try.
You know, Adrian's getting the ball 27 times a game the rest of the season with Bev at the helm. It's going to be great. Jonathan Harrison, last year's reigning, defending, batting average champion, had nothing come off the board. Manny Hill had nothing come off the board. Rami, might be a little early to take this off the board because technically he still has a month to make this happen. But Rami predicted
back in the building
that he's going to punch Judd in the neck sometime this year.
That's still time.
And I just think, like, Judd has isolated himself to the studio and his home and maybe the grocery store. And
not
the
really.
There's a liquor store.
Not, yeah, liquor store a little bit, but the grocery store I'm pretty much out on. No, I have gone to basically a life independent of people.
So it's going to be really hard for Rami to punch you in the neck.
He's not going to find me.
Yeah.
Like, he would have to come to my house, break in.
I also don't even know if he's still living in Minnesota. I think he had a lease coming up or something.
Yeah, I think he technically is still here for this month. But
okay, so he is close enough.
Oh, he could make the drive. Yeah.
If this happens, let us know. We'll reverse
the plan. Here's the thing. He would have to come to my house almost certainly and punch me in the neck, which means that if he came to my house, short of him breaking in, he would have to allow, I would have to let him in if he knocked on my door.
He'd have to break in because when people knock on your door, you hide. You don't
answer. And we all know that I will crawl on the floor below the door window so that people can't see I'm home.
Oh, we had a similar situation. So we live in an apartment complex.
I hurt my knee, by the way, when I did that.
This last weekend, like, no one ever knocks on your door in an apartment.
Yeah, it's very rare. It's always spooky.
Well, so we had ordered some food, and usually we just meet you. They drop it in the lobby, you go grab it. Right. There's not even any contact, right?
Yeah.
And so it was right around the time where, like, and one in every, I would say 10 times, they will, like, inexplicably come up and, like, knock on the door with the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we ordered some food. It had been about 20 minutes, and there's a knock on the door. And so I'm thinking, all right, dinner's here. That was weird that they walked up here, but dinner's here. Put my mask on, open the door, and it's not the food person.
Oh, God.
What?
It was, like, a random woman.
Oh, God.
And she goes, sorry to bother you. Do you guys have a wine opener that I can borrow?
What?
And me being, like, the super nice, like, I'm always, like, sort of naively nice in those situations. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, honey, I turn to my wife, like, hey, can you hand me the wine opener? And she gives me, she's, like, off to, she's out of view of this woman, but in very much in view of me. And she tilts her head with her eyes wide, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's right. Yeah.
But she hands me, she knows now that I'm in this weird spot where, like, I can't now say no because I just said yes. So she hands me our electronic wine opener that's, like, very nice and classy, right? And I hand it off and shut the door.
Oh, my God.
And I turn back and she's looking at me and she goes, what did you just do? I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, that could have been, like, a murderer. That could have been
anybody.
People? We do have a peephole.
You gotta use the peephole.
I know.
I mean, the second you see that that's not the food, you're like, no.
She goes, do you see that thing on the door?
Yep.
What's that for?
And she's
like, I said, so what were we supposed to do? Just, like, ignore it and hide?
Yes.
You had to sleep on the couch that night, too. I mean, she came after you for
No, it was a good time.
It's more of a, what are you, it's not you're mad, you're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and Declan, by the way, like, just because you have an uncomfortable conversation with a woman doesn't mean you never have to talk ever again.
Oh, funny again, that's funny, Phil. Yeah, absolutely.
But Mrs. Mackey, 100% right here, too.
She was right here. Yeah.
That's really uncomfortable.
So,
anyways. And in a pandemic, you're asking, I mean, ordinarily, I don't like this question,
and then,
a pandemic, I really don't like this.
And then here's the thing. So she goes back to her apartment with the wine opener, and so I just kind of stood near the door like, oh, she'll just open the bottle and bring it back. 20 minutes go by.
Oh, no, this is bad.
And now I'm thinking, did she steal our wine opener?
And you gave her a nice one.
So I was like, because I did see which apartment she walked into, so I was like, I was getting ready to go back and knock and say, can I have the wine opener back? It was wild.
This sounds like a potential COVID problem, too.
So anyhow, the accountability session continues. I predicted that Teddy Bridgewater would be sacked at least 5 times by the Vikings in their meeting this season. They pressured him 14 times, but they couldn't bring Mobile Ted down to his knees. And then I said the Vikings would beat the Panthers by 10 or more. That didn't happen. Cousins will throw 0 interceptions, and Jefferson and Cook would score 1 touchdown apiece. I'm hunting for home runs. One goal in mind. Listeners, Sam C. said Harry Kane will have at least 2 goals for Tottenham this weekend. It was a 0-0 draw, which means Tottenham did not beat Chelsea. This is his other prediction. Jeremy said, oh my God. This is
one of the
worst predictions. Jeremy, we love you. This is one of the worst predictions in Write That Down history. He said the Lions will make the playoffs and Matt Patricia will win Coach of the Year.
I feel like that should be five strikes right there.
Oh. And Chris said Zach Morris will announce a run for president on the reboot of Saved by the Bell.
Now, okay.
Honorable.
Do we take that off the board, though? Because the reboot could have another season, right?
I think this has to be contained to just this season.
Just the 10 episodes?
It was about, like, there's a season coming out.
Okay.
Otherwise, it turns into a Larry Brown situation where are they going to keep rebooting it for 50 years until Zach Morris dies?
With the way Zach looks, they do not have 50 years to reboot this. Mark Paul does not have 50 years left on the planet.
He doesn't. Declan, you said, this is, again, wording here. Mm-hmm. We're getting really close to this happening, but you said Jalen Hurts will start a game for the Eagles by December.
Crazy.
He played in a game, and now it's December, and so this is...
And you could still start in December, but I said by December, so...
Yep. You should have said by the end of December.
Yeah, right.
You said Matt Nagy will be fired before Matt Patricia.
Honorable, but wrong.
You said Teddy will throw for at least 250, which he did, but you also said, and two touchdowns and finishes with a better passer rating than Clutch Kirk.
Nobody beats Kirk.
Not anymore. Not the late game luminary. And that brings us to the updated batting average and home run statistics. Judd Zolgad, either leading or tied in both categories. 420 average, three home runs. Rami at 379 with one home run. Declan down to 325 with one home run. I'm sitting at 279 with three home runs. Listeners, 210 with three home runs. Manny Hill, 188 with one home run. John Harrison, 179 with two home runs.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Let's get to our guest predictor this week. He's rocking the professional headset, the Vikings gear. Jacob, welcome to Write That Down.
Thank you for thank you and thanks for letting me join.
Are you here to swing for the fences or what's your strategy? Talk us through it.
I think I have a couple of swing for the fences because one of them's a parlay and then other ones have to do with Vikings and who's going to be on the team. And then I think I have a layup too. So I think it's a mix. Okay. I had like five last night and I had to tone them down a little bit. I had to get rid of two.
Good. Trim down, get that portfolio spread out. Yeah. So here's what we're going to go. Jacob, Judd, Declan, back to me, Phil, and we're going to go around the room three different times, three predictions each. Lead us off, Jacob.
Write this down.
I'll go with the layup. I'm going to go with Kirill Kaprizov will lead the Wild in goals in their next NHL season.
And yet, just off the record, any idea how many goals you think that could be? A range?
Well, we don't even know when the season's going to start, so can you give a good assessment?
That's a good point.
I would say if it starts when they think it will, which I don't think it will, I think he'll end up having over 35.
Ooh, write it down. You like writing things down?
I love
that's
it.
Real good.
Judd?
I'm going to begin my Write That Down predictions today by absolutely swinging for the fences.
Got a healthy lead.
Guaranteed these are for 2021.
Mm-hmm. 22 even.
Trying to keep that batting average title intact.
It's definitely for 2021. Nonetheless.
Ted Williams is rolling in his grave.
His frozen grave.
Well, his head's off, so his head's... forget about it.
Okay.
Pat Fitzgerald will be the next coach of the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
The Chicago Bears will hire Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald as their next coach after firing.
Actually, that could still be a 2000. If it happens, it could happen in 2020,
He's
going to have plenty of time to have those conversations. Now he's got to get canned here quick.
Yeah, but I am going to, because Harbaugh has been such a disaster in Michigan. And I think Patrick's prediction was that he would get the Bears job. But I don't know that you could really sell that now because it's gone so wrong in college for Harbaugh. So I'm going to predict it will be Pat Fitzgerald who has had a great season coaching the Northwestern Wildcats.
I love that.
Write this down.
All right, my first swing before a couple singles here. Eddie Rosario will sign with an AL Central team.
Ooh.
Is that a home run?
No.
Because I'm leaving at four?
And he's probably going to leave here. So, but you know what? He is
a...
I think it's a home run.
I think it's a home run.
Just think of math here. So what you're saying is I guess technically the Twins are included in that.
Yeah, if it was the Twins, it wouldn't be a home
run. But it's a 1 in 6 chance, which to me mathematically would make it a home run.
And we are not saying the Twins. So if he re-signs with the Twins, that does not count at all, right?
Well, no, it would.
It would count.
I said AL Central team.
I think you have to say, for it to be a home run, you have to say AL Central team, not the Twins.
Not the Twins.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave
that's
it
fair.
The AL Central team.
That's
you're going to leave it?
Team.
Okay.
Yeah. AL Central team.
He strikes me as a prime KC Royal.
Oh, I thought the truth.
Dude, you're right. He's a classic.
He seems like
KC
a classic.
Royal.
in left field. In fact, because Gordon retired, right?
Yeah.
So he could actually replace Alex Gordon in left field.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Right, I'm gonna swing for at least a couple of fences here because I no longer have a chance really to take the batting average lead. So I want that home run title. Parlay for this Sunday. Actually, just parlay for whenever the Vikings play next. I want to be careful about phrasing here.
Careful.
Kirk Cousins will have at least 3 touchdown passes. Justin Jefferson, over 100 yards receiving. And the Vikings will cover the spread against the Jaguars.
What is the spread right now? Do we know?
He's like 9. Something like that.
And is the spread always like kind of changing by day to day, or is it usually pretty set?
We'll go based off whatever the ESPN.com spread says on their NFL scoreboard page. Whatever they say.
So Kirk for 3 touchdowns, Justin Jefferson over 100 yards, and the Vikings will cover the spread.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. All right, back over to Jacob.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Just for your knowledge, it's 9.5 is the spread.
Let's just go with that right now. Love let's it. Go 9.5 right now.
Associate producer.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, Declan, why don't you go take a break?
That's okay.
My next one, it's Vikings related. At least the following 2 players will not be on the Vikings at the start of their next regular season game.
See, phrasing
so next
here.
Next season.
I love how you're thinking.
I'm learning from Judd here. Those players are Anthony Barr, Riley Reiff, Kyle Rudolph, and then Shamar Stephen, I think that's how you say it.
Shamar Stephen, yeah.
And Shamar Stephen, and then Daniil Hunter.
Oh my God, that's a grand slam if we had such a thing.
So how many of those? You said 2?
At least 2.
Okay.
Whoa.
Wow.
At least 2.
Oh.
I like where this
Write it down. You like writing things down.
And if Hunter's not on the roster, that means he's been traded for a high first-round draft pick, gentlemen. That's my guess.
Boy, and you know, maybe I know the Jets have a lot of cap space. Maybe they want Anthony Barr back. Maybe you guys want a couple vaunted defenders. You can still draft a quarterback if you want to. Anyways, Judd.
I mean, you could get that second or third-round pick. They're high picks, even if it's 4 Barr, because they're not going to get – or even their potentially first-round pick.
They'll take Zimmer, too. They need a coach. trade Zimmer – Daniil.
Cousins has to be thrown in there, too. You got to throw Cousins. If you're trading Zim, you got to throw in Cousins.
All right, back to
Judd. That they can remain a package deal.
Write that down.
Based off of what happened on Tuesday and essentially recent events with the Vikings, you can write this down. The Vikings will not take a kicker, punter, or long snapper in the upcoming NFL draft. The Vikings will not take a kicker, they will not take a punter, and they will not take a long snapper in the upcoming NFL draft.
I hope they take another long snapper in the 7th round.
Me too. Courtney Cronin will be jacked too.
Write this down.
All right, back to Declan.
Take veterans.
All right, the Vikings will win by 10 or more points against the Jaguars.
Okay.
The Vikings will win by 10 or more points against the Jaguars.
Okay.
Write this down.
All right, I want this to be a home run, so I need you guys to tell me if it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Glennon is a terrible quarterback.
Yes.
But he is the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's been announced officially. That's correct.
Yep. And I sense a shootout. So my prediction is, write this down.
Whoa.
Mike Glennon will throw for 300 or more yards and 2 or more touchdowns against the Vikings in a losing effort.
And you're saying that the Vikings will, in your previous prediction, cover the spread.
Yes. So what I'm telling you here is that Glennon in a come from behind
62-48?
Effort. Yeah, well, no, I'm saying the Vikings are gonna like the Vikings will score like 31, and the Jags will score like 24 or something, and Glennon will throw for a bunch of yards. Fantasy football numbers.
So Glennon last week threw for 235, had a rating of 96, 2 touchdowns.
Wow, he slung it around last
against
week.
Cleveland.
Well,
it's a 3-item parlay because I'm telling you, yeah, 300 plus, 2 plus TDs, and a loss.
I think if you hit on 3 things, that's a home run.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
That's fair.
And you said 300 or more yards, right?
Yep.
That's a lot of things.
2 or more touchdowns and a loss.
A lot of moving parts right there, Phil.
Back to Jacob, your final prediction.
My final prediction is also an NFL draft prediction for the Vikings. In the next NFL draft, the Vikings will make a trade in the first round and with at least one of their first 2 picks, they will take a lineman. I'm not specifying offense or defense of lineman.
Oh.
So they're going to trade in the first round, and they will take someone in the trenches.
This is a man who has learned.
Yes,
he has. Predict on, predict off. That is impressive.
Well, Jacob, you've done an awesome job here. And since you've got this gigantic platform to say anything you want that doesn't get us fired, is there anyone in your life that you'd like to thank that got you to this point?
Well, my wife is upstairs right now watching our son, so I feel like I have to thank her. She just finished teaching for the day, and she's up there watching him while I'm down here. So
nice. Well, thanks to Mrs. Jacob.
You're a very smart man.
Hope you and your family have a great holiday stretch here, and we'll get you on again to make some more predictions sometime.
Yeah. I have something cool to show you real quick. You guys are all baseball fans, obviously. My grandma's old boyfriend used to be a scout for the Minnesota Twins. So he used to collect World Series and All-Star baseball pins.
Is he the one that found Tsuyoshi Nishioka?
No, this is way before then.
He found Oliva
before I was born. So he's not.
He found Carew, maybe.
So she made me she put this.
Oh, nice.
In a plaque. So
that was very cool.
Awesome, man.
Cool.
Those are awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being a friend of the show. And take care, Jacob.
Happy holidays,
man.
Talk to you.
All right, that's Jacob making some great predictions there. If you want to be part of the segment, just send me a DM. I'm a little bit I'm like 2 weeks behind in responding to some, so just be patient. I'll get back to you and we'll get you scheduled on the show at Phil Mackey on Twitter. Judd Zolgad, your final prediction.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
My final. Write that down. Kenta Maeda will be the Twins' opening day starter.
Okay.
Kenta Maeda. So Brias, I believe, has started two or three. I think it's at least two consecutive.
How is Trevor Bauer going to feel about being pushed to game two in
Kenta
the opening
Maeda,
series?
That's the problem. I don't think they're going to get Trevor Bauer. I don't think it's going to work out. I think they're going to make a pitch for him at some point. No pun intended, but I don't think they're going to get him. And Kenta Maeda will get the opening day start. Another prediction firmly rooted in the 2021 season.
Write this down.
Declan, your final prediction.
All right, final prediction. I'm just trying to catch Rami at this point. If I can catch Rami, I'll be satisfied with my write that down rookie season. I mean, if I catch Judd, that's
oh, if you catch me, but
I mean, I'm down 95.
And you've
points.
Had a solid, and you've had a
very
solid rookie season.
Actually, this Pierre, is a, Scott Pesednik like single season. Okay,
you know what? This is very much like a Brian Dozier season, though, where you get off to a hot start and then the league kind of catches up to you. The scouting reports catch up to you in the second half, and you struggle.
Yeah, I'm on a little bit of a snide right now, which is why this next prediction is a kind of another single. Alexander Mattison will get at least 10 touches against the Jaguars. Mattison for 10, at least 10 touches against the Jaguars.
What is his, just for fun?
So essentially, you were facing Dex 3rd and 19, and you just threw the ball 6 yards. The guy that caught the ball got an additional 3 yards, and now you're in better position to punt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I was trying to see how many times.
I was
curious if this is anywhere near home run territory, but it's not because of the status of Dalvin Cook. Now, he has 3 games this season with at least 10 rushes, and then he has another game with 6 rushes, 4 catches. So he does have four games with 10-plus touches.
Just by the way Kubiak and Zimmer are talking about Dalvin, and even Kubiak said apparently on another radio station that
yeah, he did say this.
That he said he's been banged up, and we need to kind of like lighten his workload a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if Alexander Mattison gets, honestly, a healthy amount of touches.
Is Zim saying that, though?
Kubiak was.
No, right, and I appreciate that, but I'm curious if Zimmer is as in tune with the fact that they're wearing Cook down as
honestly,
the OC
is. I don't think Zimmer cares.
I don't think he cares too much, but at the same time, it's still serving his hat. Like, they're still running the football. Like, they're still going to give Mattison the football.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
I think he's okay with it. I don't know if he's on board with it.
I got you. I hear you.
Zimmer's like, you wuss.
Yeah.
Get out of my
Write face. It down. You like writing things down.
We pound the rock.
All right. Final prediction of the week here. In season 2 of Saved by the Bell, this is technically a parlay because I am predicting that there will be a season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And in that season, Slater and Jesse will get married. This is a home run because I'm predicting season 2. I'm predicting a storyline. And Jesse is currently married to another man. But it's not going well.
It became very clear, I believe, in episode 10 that there is going to be a divorce then.
Yes.
So I think that you're on the right track.
Slater and Jesse will get married in season 2 of Save with the Bell.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right. That's a wrap on Write That Down for this week. We're going to catch up with our friend Patrick Royce. Has he figured out this? Like, he was supposed to be on a Malik Beasley Zoom.
So he's actually in the car, so it will be over the phone again for today. On-air production meeting.
Oh, he's in the car?
Yeah,
oh,
no, he called the warm line during the accountability session to say, hey, I'll be driving. I'll pull over when it's time.
Let's fire him up.
All right.
You know what? You got to diversify. So as many different jars as possible. You know, you want to spread your assets out, cast a wide net. Yeah, you know, I'm probably not the biggest spender. I'm not going to blow all my money. If that's what you want to see me do, I'm happy to entertain some ideas of how I could blow it. But yeah, I'm probably going to try to save more than I'm going to spend. Yeah, you got me pegged correctly there.
Patrick Royce, that was, we have about 10 of these clips that we'll play on Purple Daily today, cheap plug. That was Kirk Cousins, I believe, making his debut on the Pardon My Take Barstool Sports podcast yesterday.
And bragging about how much money he has to waste.
Actually, they asked him about the rumor that he keeps money in jars for, like, safekeeping. And that was his answer. Let's play one more here. This is I haven't heard any of these. So this is Kirk Cousins on if Mike Zimmer hates quarterbacks.
There's no doubt that, you know, you want to keep Coach Zimmer happy. And he's a defensive coach, so it's going to be hard to keep him happy. But it also doesn't help, you know, because – one of the best ways to keep a defensive-minded coach happy is just protect the football. You know, just don't screw it up. And so earlier in the year, I was leading the league in interceptions. That's not where you want to be. So thankfully, you know, the last few weeks we've been a little bit better, starting to get on the right track. But, you know, hopefully I can get back in his good graces.
Amazing. I highly recommend checking out the whole thing.
Kirk showing some personality. It's not absolutely 100% phony. That's good.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take that. I think before he's done, we're going to be having a Kirk Cousins day here. I think he's going to go in the Ring of Honor. What do you think?
You and Mackie, man. Oh. That's a you and Mackie changed your tune quickly.
Pat, you're speaking my language, Pat. You're speaking my language.
It's premature to say he'll be there after this season, but someday. Someday he'll be in the Ring of Honor, and there still, however, will be a segment of the population that will show up for that game and boo when he goes on the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is amazing how fortunate he is the way this season started and some of the clunkers in the Ziggy Dome that there were no people there, because it might have ruined him to the vicious reactions that he would have received. Not only the Falcons game, the Packers game, right off the bat, they would have been on him. There was about three that he would have got utterly hammered. And that with the big carry, and then a couple of road games, so when he came home and he first ran out to the huddle, they would have been booing him too. So it's been a very good year for him. Not to have people at the Ziggy, that's for sure.
I would have paid for halftime of the Falcons game. I would have paid just to hear. Yeah. He would have been, because the Packers game, I think the entire team gets booed, right? But that Falcons game, I think all of the venom would have been reserved for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, it would have been rocking and rolling. It would have been like I always, my favorite used to be back at Soldier Field. It was when things started going to hell after Ditka, and I was covering games down there. And the vicious, vicious things that would be shouted when they ran up those tunnels in the old Soldier Field. I remember Noah Jackson, all 350 pounds of him, trying to climb up the walls, trying to kill a guy. some drunken Bears fan. That's the way it would have been when they left the stadium. It's harder. They don't have that tunnel like they had in the Metrodome, though, right? So they can really, really lean over and just call them filthy names. It's kind of unfortunate. It's kind of unfortunate. Every football stadium should have that. And it's pretty NFL, don't you think? Where the really drunk, obnoxious fans can scream their profanities, knowing that these guys will never have a chance to that they'll never have a chance to say it face to face with these guys.
Patrick, I don't know if you saw, so I did find a stream of the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., quote-unquote, sparring match over the weekend, and I saw a note yesterday on Twitter. It did over a million pay-per-view buys at $50 a pop. They're estimating 1.2 million buys, which would make it one of the most popular pay-per-view boxing bouts in the last 10 years. And now, Evander Holyfield has come out. He's 58 years old. He has come out and said, Mike Tyson ducked me on this first fight. He wanted to warm up against the guy he knew he could take. And I am demanding a third match to create a trilogy. Take my money. I am here to watch 54-year-old Mike Tyson again. 100%.
Are you paying this time?
I would pay $100 for this. Yes.
Senior boxing. senior boxing is more disgusting than senior baseball was. Remember senior baseball?
Oh, God,
senior
yes.
Senior boxing is the worst. I wouldn't pay 5 cents to watch senior boxing. The last fight, though, we're going to have some ear-biting jokes, aren't we, if there's ever a rematch, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Tyson. If I'm at Vander Holyfield, I want ear for an ear at this point. I think that's the only
I got that.
Greatest call in the history of sports, Teddy Atlas to Ron Borges from the Boston Globe before that fight when he said Tyson is a coward at heart. And, you know, he used to train him when he was a kid, Teddy. He's a coward at heart. He knows Evander's going to beat the hell out of him. So he's going to do something that will keep up his tough guy image before he gets the crap beat out of him by Holyfield. And that's exactly what he did. He gnawed on the ear. And, oh, look at what a savage he is. He said, look at what a fraud he is. So,
really?
Teddy Atlas called that. To Ron Borges.
That would have been a home run. Write that down. Prediction right there.
Right. I said you would have had to call it a grand slam, don't you? That would have been. You would have given him 4 ribbies on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
A sad day in Minnesota sports, man. The end of Eddie. The end of Eddie, man. He's going to be gone before the day's over.
Yeah.
95% chance. Anyway.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Might not be sad for the Twins, Patrick. Might be sad for us who enjoyed watching him.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd sign him because I think you can get him fairly cheap, less than $30 million for 3 years, and trade Kepler. That's what I'd do. And then make Kirilloff my right fielder. I'd trade Kepler because I think you can get something for him. And there's not much to be had with Eddie, with him being 10 minutes away. But he's on waivers right now. We'll find out at 1 o'clock if anybody claimed him.
I kind of like that idea because he's only so Rosario is only 28. He still has a few years left to prime. He's flawed, but if you feel like you can get a number one, if you could trade Max Kepler to Tampa and get Blake Snell, 3 years of Blake Snell back,
yeah,
you'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yes, I would. And who do I want to come up to the plate in the eighth inning of a big game? Kepler or Rosario? I'll still take my chance with that. I know one thing. Eddie's not going to be afraid of the moment.
Yeah.
He's not going to be afraid to swing the bat, that's for sure. Now, he's a grand character, has missed a couple of curfews in his life, can drive a manager crazy. But, you know, part of the fun of watching the Twins the last few years is, okay, Eddie just hit a ball in the gap. Now what the hell is going to happen?
He's going to get thrown out of third. That's what's going to happen.
Double, triple. What's he going to do? Fall down between first and second. What is going to happen here? You know, we all love Glenn Perkins, right?
Yeah.
Glenn Perkins told me Eddie is his all-time favorite teammate because he had fun with being away from the game, but when the game was beat, and he had fun during the game, but when he went to the plate, he always wanted to get a hit, right? He always wanted to get a hit. Now, sometimes he went about it poorly by swinging at pitches over his head and stuff like that. But I think that, if I was a bottom feeder club and he was on waivers and I know that I could give him $10 million for next year and maybe work out a deal, I'd take him. But apparently the Twins metrics have him as a $6 or $7 million player, so. They don't want to pay him, I guess. Somebody told me they offered 3 for low 20s, but I don't think he'll take that. So,
hey Patrick, what's your favorite Eddie blunder? So of all the blunders, what's your favorite one?
I have no idea.
The ground rule double to me was fantastic. When he didn't know the ground rule in his home ballpark. And the guy's circling the bases, and he's standing there convinced that it shouldn't be more than a double.
Yeah, well, I guess so. That might be it. But I like the physical ones more than the mental. You know, I like the real the physical blunder. But I'd have to go with something on the bases. I don't know what, but the third base coach should have just ran over and sat on the side of the outfield, the third baseline fence there when he was running the bases because he was completely unneeded, right? He was going to try to score. Eddie was going to try to score, and what the hell? I didn't try to score. I'll tell you what, it's a sad day because we got Malik Beasley celebrating a $60 million contract for having done nothing, and poor Eddie's getting run out of town because they don't want to pay him $10 million. So it's a sad day. I was on the Beasley Zoom call today, and guess what? Malik only wanted to talk about basketball.
Oh, shocking.
We've heard that one before, haven't we?
That's not how it works, Malik.
That's J.R. like.
He just, I did ask Gerson and Ryan what they thought about seeing their new mature Malik Beasley in the TMZ headlines over the weekend. And they came up with some double speak. Kind of, Ryan actually wasn't too bad. Gerson's a world champion of triple speak, I'll tell you that. So,
yes.
But you know what? You know what's an amazing achievement? To having only been here for 14 games and then a long off season, and be already this franchise's goofiest Beasley.
That's true.
I mean, would you want to take a Malik Beasley cheese grater?
That's what I said. Get the toaster.
Actually, it's funny you bring that up. Bring this up. I actually had a nice toasted English muffin for breakfast yesterday using Michael Beasley's toaster.
Oh, man. Michael Beasley's toaster. You're crazy. But I think Beasley was good natured. The other Beasley, the original Beasley, was like a good natured goofball. This guy's unbelievable. By the way, did you see we now have another TMZ website type thing, BOS or something. I don't know what it is. They got a third gal who's his official mistress, and she's got hotel receipts. Her name is Jewel something, not the singer, just Jewel is what she goes by. And Jewel's got hotel receipts and the whole thing. That was out there today. Thanks to Jace Frederick for making me aware of that one. I didn't see that one on TMZ. But you know what? When you're messing around on Madden Montana Yo or whatever her last name is, that takes a lot of guts because she's an attractive young lady. Have you seen the Miss? Have you looked at the Miss?
Yeah, I read the TMZ story yesterday.
Yeah, Mrs. Beasley.
I sent them to you because I'm curious. Now, is Bees still in the Wolves' good graces and family, or eventually is he going to get himself out?
He's still in the family, and we're going to help. We want to help everybody mature on and off the court. And I'd say the early signs. How about his tweet? You can only control what you control. What you can control. Okay.
I feel like there's a few more things you could control there.
I think you could control that one. I think that one can be controlled.
I think he has something that he can't control. And that's, we don't want to get terribly specific here. But you know what Chris Rock said about options? So anyway, Pippen's ex-wife is a beauty, huh?
How old is she? 40? She's
40, 46.
Yeah, this is very... The Graduate.
Yeah, speaking of, when he said, I only want to talk about basketball, that felt like, see, speaking of which, you were with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife the other day. Anyway, what the NBA, man, you can't beat it, can you?
It's amazing. Best league in the world right now. Best league in the world.
And right now is the best part of the season because they aren't playing.
Yes, that's absolute.
When they aren't playing, that's what it's at its absolute best.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pat, we will talk to you on Friday.
All right. See you, Jeff.
All right. That is Patrick Roycey, the legend.
Okay, just quickly, can I point out that he clarified, I'm not talking about the singer Jewel, who, by the way, could be Michael Beasley's mom, I believe.
Yeah.
Jewel hasn't been. When's the last time? And I liked her.
I love Jewel.
But when's the last time Jewel was popular?
I feel like, wasn't Jewel like a judge?
She was on the
American Idol or something.
Was she? Okay.
Honestly, the last like relevant moment I remember of her, she was on Rob Lowe's, the celebrity roast of Rob Lowe.
Okay, that's
from,
right.
From like 3 or 4 years. And she
really?
Had a great little, she like super mashed random. Up Dream. She mashed up like her main song with Rob Lowe because they were an item, I believe, back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So it was actually pretty hilarious.
Wow.
Rob Lowe, man.
That Patrick Racy, those 15 minutes took many turns right there.
Well, he had a lot to get to between the end of Rosario and the Michael Beasley saga. I don't think this Beasley thing is going to end well here. Do you guys?
I don't think so either.
Like, it just feels like it's going to be one. If we're finally going to get to the cliff of, okay, this is enough.
Well, good thing you didn't commit too much financially. $60 million over 3 years.
Hey, I'll tell you guys right now that I'm told that Bees looked Glenn Taylor dead in the eye and said, I want your money.
He did. Did he look the new owner in the eye, too, whoever that's going to be here coming up soon? All right, we got to go. That's a wrap on today's episode of Mackie and Judd. Scoops with Doogie and Reckless Speculation Thursday tomorrow on the show.